Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Let's kick off the final hour of the show. We're Grant and Danny. You are locked in to 106.7 The Fan. We are with you until 2 today. If you missed Carl Hagelin or any other part of our show, including our in-studio spot with Charlie Slows, voice of the Washington Nationals here on The Fan and the Nats Radio Network, you can now go back in time up to 24 hours. You can listen to those interviews and all the segments we do that you may have missed and you want to hear again. Go to the radio.com app, open our station, and go back in time with our radio.com rewind function. You saw a piece in the post you liked, 5 burning offseason questions. You figured we could go through those and answer them. So what do you got?
Let's do it this way, my friend. 5 big questions, Redskins roster questions entering the offseason from our pal Kareem Copeland. Number 1, will Williams and Scherf, Trent and Brandon, respectively, return to the offensive line? 2 big outstanding questions here. We kind of kicked around the Trent question earlier about what you would do. I think overwhelming number of Redskins fans say, bring him back. I think you trade him and do it immediately. And for Scherf, another complicated question. He's going to have to be paid among the top few guards in the sport.
Yeah,
what do you do with those spots?
He's going to be paid $13 or $14 million, in my opinion. So basically, the money you'd create if Trent Williams walked, which would be around $12 million plus dollars, would be turned around and just handed to Brandon Scherf as your right guard if you keep him and not Williams. So I'll give you first what I would do, and then I'm going to give you what I think the team will do. I would not re-sign Brandon Scherf, and I would trade Trent Williams for a draft pick. Mm-hmm. If they re-sign Scherf, I have absolutely no problem with that. I just happen to believe that if I'm going to spend that kind of money, it's going to be on a tackle, and I can find decent guard play, Wes Martin or someone else in the meantime, and I'll go out and I'll develop the next Brandon Scherf, ideally. But I'm not going to invest close to $15 million a year, which is what it might take, in a guard who a couple of times now has ended the season on injured reserve.
And I like Scherf a lot.
I do too.
I don't think I can do it.
So now, for me, neither are back. If one was going to be back, and again, this is up to me, it'd be Scherf, not Williams. I'm trading him. I'm not really thinking twice about it. I think as far as the team standpoint, there's a much better chance Trent Williams is back. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's much of a chance at all that they re-sign Brandon Scherf. I'll be surprised if they do. If they do, it's a signal that Ron Rivera has basically put his stamp on this thing, because yeah. I think they were completely prepared not to pay Brandon Scherf before they hired him. He could make that a priority and say, I want this guy, I love this guy. Film says we're keeping him. Maybe Scott Turner advocates on his behalf or something like that. But my guess is that Scherf is out and that Williams is back, because I think the Redskins are going to try to bring Trent Williams back.
What I would do, both are gone, different methods of that. I wish Scherf well, no ill will, but I just can't afford that, and I would trade Trent Williams. What they will do is bring Trent back, if I had to bet on it, and they maybe let Scherf walk. Question the 2, will the team move on from Kerrigan and Norman?
No to Kerrigan, yes to Norman. And that's for both what I would do and what I think the team will do. Mm-hmm. I might even consider the possibility that they would trade Ryan Kerrigan if Montez Sweat had a more accomplished rookie year. He came on strong, had 5.5 sacks in his last 8 games, which was good to see. But it took too long for him to develop. There are still questions about what his upside is. Mm-hmm. Can he be a number one pass rusher? He didn't do anything to prove, working against a left tackle, taking on occasional chips and double teams, that he's able to give you what Kerrigan has for years. The other question is, how helpful and how big a contributor will Ryan Kerrigan be in the future? I don't think he's just going to fall off to be nothing. I think he wasn't healthy. He got hurt last year. He would have gotten back to 9-10 sacks by the end of the season. He was trending in that way when he went down and he dealt with two different issues. Before that, he'd gone years without missing any time. So I still think he's got something in the tank. You need to keep some veterans around even if you are rebuilding, because you need some guys that show the young players how to work, how to take care of their bodies, how to go about their business. And you need some guys who can produce on the field. I think Kerrigan is all those things. So I think he will be back. Josh Norman is not a lot of those things, right? I don't know that he is the leader. He's a guy that fell out of favor with the coaches, that was quote-unquote sick and didn't show up for one of the end games of the season. I don't know. There's no way he's back because he makes $15 million, but I also don't think, even with Norman and Rivera having the past that they had, that Rivera will have much interest in bringing him back. So I'd be shocked if he returned. I expect Kerrigan to return.
Yeah, counting down the days until Norman is gone, I would imagine I would like to keep Kerrigan, but I have a scenario for you I'll bring up in a second. What I think
Kerrigan's better, though, at what he does than Norman is at what he plays.
And that's been true for years.
It's not close.
Yeah, so I think they do bring Kerrigan back for the reasons you said. All the guy's done is everything you've ever asked him to do. Wonderful citizen, great locker room guy, great example for the younger players. You got to have some veteran leadership in there as you transition to this younger roster. But let me ask you this. Let me run this up the flagpole very quickly. Let's say they are Ryan Lochte'd. I mean, let's say they are master locked in to taking Chase Young at the number two pick. Does that affect potentially their thinking at all about what to do with Kerrigan? You could save some money. You could pick up that second rounder again that maybe you lost.
I don't think it should, because as I've said about that position a million times, it's not left tackle. Having more pass rushers is good.
If you got three, you want four.
Particularly, you're going to a 4-3, right? So you can kick one of those guys inside at times. You can stand one of them up on the outside. Chase Young rushing with his hand in the dirt and Ryan Kerrigan standing up next to him. Or Montez Sweat and Ryan Kerrigan standing up side by side next to Chase Young on a heavy side of a formation is scarier than not having all those guys. If you bring Kerrigan back, let's say he takes a step back or has. I don't necessarily completely buy that, but it's certainly early in the year he wasn't as impactful.
Makes him an 8-sack guy.
Yeah, if he's an 8-9 sack guy and Chase Young can get you 10 and Montez Sweat can get you 10, you're in as good a position as you've been in from a defensive pass rushing standpoint in years. For a former linebacker in Del Rio who worked with Julius Peppers when they were the number two defense in the league in Charlotte, who worked with Von Miller when they were the number two defense in the league in Denver, I want to give him as many weapons as possible. So yeah, I would definitely bring him back. I just don't think Norman plays the position at this point at a high enough level to justify the contract. Kerrigan, you can still justify the money that you pay him. You could even go to him if you want and say, hey, let's take
restructure a bit?
Pay cut, restructure, what have you. I'm not sure that I would do that because he's been such a good soldier. He's been such a good employee. He's been so valuable to you for so many years, dating back to 2011. They owe Kerrigan way more than they owe Josh Norman, as an example. But I don't know that we have to debate it, because I think they made up their mind on Norman a while ago.
Right.
The one wild card on this is,
Rivera.
Again, Rivera. Same thing I said about Trent Williams and Brandon Scherff. You just don't know what he thinks. I know how the old staff thought. We knew how the old front office thought. This is now a new ballgame. So how much of their opinion will change with these new bosses in place, we don't know yet.
Yeah, the old staff packed their stuff up for the most part. So
yeah, after telling Norman don't play for the last six games of the season or whatever it was.
We'll do this one quickly because we've addressed it. But again, because the words that are out there and some of the actions, what's next at quarterback, Kareem asks. The only wild card I would add in here is Alex Smith keeps saying he wants to play. He would have a $32 million dead cap hit if the Redskins moved on from him. He's kind of lurking. The other two guys that we know, Keenan McCoy, currently aren't under contract. But to me, the answer is simple. It's Haskins.
It's got to be.
And that's kind of...
I mean, Haskins is your starter, and you bring Keenum back as your backup, and that's it.
Smith has a locker and watches film with the guys still.
Correct.
That's what it is to me.
There's all of a sudden some kind of momentum, it feels like, for people talking about Alex Smith playing. I will believe that if and when that happens. So this is no disrespect to him. I think his comeback has already been unbelievable. And I think he's a special human being. I mean, if I was Alex Smith, I'd weigh 296 pounds and I would be done and retired by now.
Eating bonbons on the couch like Peg Bundy.
What he's done has been special and cool. And I love these videos that his wife posts about him dropping back and running around on a field. It's a whole different thing than being cleared by a doctor to go out there and take on contact and get hit and have your legs twist underneath of you as you're being driven to the ground after you had this spiral fracture and the 20-plus procedures that he had to clean everything up after that. I just can't see him ever playing again.
Question the four. Can they find stability at tight end?
Well, they have to. This has to be one of their bigger priorities of the offseason. They should draft one. They don't have a second-round pick right now, which would be prime real estate, perhaps in the third round if they can't get one. If they traded back and had multiple first-round picks, I wouldn't be opposed to using one of those on a tight end. But I would probably draft a tight end in the third round, and I would definitely sign one, by the way. You have to invest money and spend at that position because I am getting rid of Jordan Reed this offseason. If he doesn't retire, I'm just going to release him and create several million in cap space by doing it. And Vernon Davis's contract is up anyway, and he's long in the tooth. He's probably going to retire or leave. You know, I would offer him, if he's interested, just as a hometown discount, literally because he's from here and it's his hometown, I'd offer him a one-year deal at $1 million or $1.5 million if he wanted to come as my second tight end again. But he's not going to be my guy. My guy's not on this roster. I'm not banking on Jordan Reed. I can't do that. So I think there's a real good chance they have three tight ends on the roster to start of the year, and none of them right now are on this roster today. If it was me, I sprinkle, no thank you. I've seen what I need to see there. That's just, there's 57 of those guys walking around that want jobs. I would, if Vernon Davis wants to come back as my third tight end for a year at close to the minimum, he's welcome to do that. He's a good locker room guy. Otherwise, my starter, my backup, those guys are not here right now.
Most expensive tight end position in the sport to go with the least amount of production. That needs to change ASAP. Final one, can they add more playmakers? We're excited about Terry McLaurin, rightfully so. Steven Sims emerges over the last several weeks, although I don't know what's true and what's a mirage from him. But, you know, still, you like the trend upwards, went from an afterthought to, you know, a nice piece on offense with some good numbers. Can they find more playmakers, probably including tight end?
Well, the tight end would be one of them when I spend and bring in a new starter at that position. I'm not opposed to taking a receiver early, though, in this draft.
I love this class.
If they trade back out of the two spot and they pick up a mid-first and a second, you could go left tackle, wide receiver with those two picks if you wanted to pretty easily. I'd be perfectly fine with that. I don't necessarily endorse taking Jerry Jeudy in the top five. Let's say you came back to 3, 4, 5, something like that. Just because I think this draft class, as you pointed out, is too deep. There are too many really good receivers, too much value elsewhere. So I would take a receiver somewhere between the middle of the first round and with your third round pick, with one of the selections you've got in that mix. But I like adding a weapon to this because Kelvin Harmon's an NFL player, but he's never going to be a scary weapon, in my opinion. The only guy you have like that is McLaurin, and I think Darius Geis went on the field. We'll see what Steven Sims becomes, but you got to add one more guy in the passing game that can make plays down the field to help out Dwayne Haskins.
So after I make my first move, which is to remove Josh Norman from the premises and thank him for his time and, you know, drive him to the airport, when I get back, the second thing I'm doing is moving on from Paul Richardson. No ill will towards Richardson, but that's a giant
that's a
contract that just hasn't accomplished anything. I need a version of that that actually does what he was supposed to do, right? I need that guy to be my downfield threat, to stretch the defense, to let McLaurin work in the intermediate, mid, even kind of midway deep. I need a burner to get down the football field, either via the draft or via free agency. I don't know who was out there free agency-wise that would fit that bill.
You know who's a weapon? Kyle Rudolph. 6'6", and makes a lot of catches in the red zone.
Hooper.
He gave his gloves that he signed to a media member for a charity event and then saw them on eBay shortly thereafter, which has led to a budding controversy around the sports world. We'll tell you about it next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it?
Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When the Vikings walked off with a win over the Saints in overtime in Sunday's playoff game in New Orleans, Kyle Rudolph caught the game-winning touchdown. In the locker room not long after that, a media member apparently asked him if he would donate the gloves he wore to make the catch to a charity event that he was hosting, and if he wouldn't mind signing them so that he could donate the gloves to this charity function and raise money. So Rudolph, who by all accounts is a good dude, took off the glove, signed them to the guy, and said, no problem. Pretty cool thing. I mean, Rudolph could have kept those for himself or given them to a teammate. It was a pretty big catch in that franchise's history to get past New Orleans.
You would say?
Immediately thereafter, though, Kyle Rudolph was tipped off to eBay, where those gloves, which are signed and available, they're like all white gloves with purple Nike swooshes with gold outline and a purple Sharpie signed Kyle Rudolph 82 right in the middle of the glove. They are now being sold and were purchased on eBay by a fan from whoever that account was run by and presumably that media member that got them from Rudolph. So he tweeted about this last night. He said, I saw this. It's disappointing. A member of the media in the locker room after the game asked if he could have my gloves for a charity benefit. I said, of course, and I will even sign them for you. Well, he got me sold on eBay 3 days later. As if that story doesn't stink enough and isn't sad enough that somebody would stoop to that level, Danny. Because you go to someone and you ask for something for charity. You're basically preying on their goodwill.
Yeah.
You're telling them you're going to benefit society, that you're going to do something good with this. And really, you're just trying to get a quick buck. That's about as low as it gets.
Pretty despicable, to be honest with you.
It's awful, awful, awful thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the first time this has happened. You know how this works. You and I are both watching the show on Netflix, Don't Bleep with Cats, where these internet nerds, that's what they call themselves, I'm not calling them that, that are out there.
Self-proclaimed, yeah.
Self-proclaimed internet nerds. They see stuff like this, and now they're going to dig to see, what else can we find out about this jerk that did this? And they can find that he's basically had a couple different accounts, or whoever this is, had a previous account. And it seems like he's been doing this for years. The guy that bought the gloves, Jason King, a lifelong Vikings fan from Woodbury Heights, New Jersey, purchased Rudolph's gloves around 3 Eastern on Wednesday after he saw them on eBay. He has since hit up Rudolph and said, hey, I'd love to make a donation to charity to make this right. Rudolph is taking care of him, I think, with more memorabilia.
It's a good ending there.
Thousands of Vikings fans have come forward to donate money to Kyle Rudolph's charitable causes, which is awesome. And they're having this big event now where they're raising money, and a lot of good is going to come out of this in the end. So that's great. It doesn't change that what this, and I'll use air quotes here, media member did. Because if you're a media member and you're asking for memorabilia, you're not really a media member. If you're getting autographs on that memorabilia, you're violating one of the main rules on your credential. And if you're doing this because you've asked a player to hook you with these gloves and this autograph so that you can benefit charity only so that you make money on your own, you're also a scumbag and
that's
a terrible
so
human being.
God, that's bad.
It's just a bad look, but this has been happening. Apparently, there are gloves from guys at the Pro Bowl this past year. There are hats that are signed. Like, he apparently, or whoever this is, I guess it could be a she, does this at a lot of different events and has been doing it as a credentialed media member for years.
And we're just now, as if I had something to do with it, but it's just now finally—
You're investigating.
Yeah, I'm on it, man. I'm body moving from Don't Bleep with Cats.
Body moving.
So you're telling—
You're John Green.
I know, seriously. Dude, John Green's the most silly guy on that show.
I love John Green.
So it's just now coming to light that this is a pattern of behavior for this person? Like, isn't that crazy that he's gotten away with it for that? They've gotten away with it for this many years? That seem nuts to you?
Absolutely. Because how did a player not notice? Now, maybe he has not done the thing before where he said for charity. Because I'll bet you players see their stuff on eBay. If you just went up to a guy at the Pro Bowl and said, hey, you care if I get your gloves? And you're just some donk reporter from some random newspaper. And he's like, yeah, no problem, man. Like, he doesn't know the rules. He doesn't care that you're not supposed to do that. And you say, can you sign them for me real quick? Yeah, no problem. And he gives them to you. You put them in your bag right away and you leave. By the way, if anyone that was working that event saw you do that, you'd be kicked off. You lose your credential. You wouldn't probably be able to go back with your credential to an event like that. But if you're Danny Ruye and you play third base for the Nationals,
okay,
and after the game I ask you for your autograph on your batting gloves, and then they're on eBay, you go, man, that jerk. You know, I signed for that guy and he put them on eBay. until he lies to you and says, this is for charity, it doesn't become something maybe where you call him out. And Rudolph publicly called him out, which is how this whole thing exploded.
So when I mean, if I'm a player, I'm not like searching eBay every day for memorabilia. It would have to come to your attention somehow.
Correct.
Right?
But I'm sure over the years that's happened where someone's like, dude, your gloves are already from the Pro Bowl 2 days ago are already on eBay. Can you believe that? Like, someone's heard that
before. Of course. I mean, there's a lot about it that I don't like, obviously, you know, where to me, I just don't know how someone, I keep going back to the same thing. I don't know how you could have gotten away with it for that long. Like, nobody saw, and if someone saw, nobody informed a higher authority. I mean, the fact that someone could do this for as long, and again, this isn't like a capital crime. This isn't, you know, they're not making a documentary about this or anything that Grant and I would love to watch on Netflix, but it's just so scummy, you know? I mean, I try, and I don't cover teams, you know, I'm just a pudgy idiot that gets to talk about sports 5 days a week. But the relationships that you inevitably develop over the course of the years, you just try to, like, I am so probably overly cautious about asking a player for anything at any time. You know what I mean? Like, probably to the point where I could, I don't know how to say this better, but I could get more out of guys in terms of charity interests or different things, right?
I could take them for all they're worth.
Yeah, I could trick them into donating. I don't mean that, but it's like...
No, I get what you're saying.
Would it be okay if you had a glove that you didn't want anymore
and
I could give it to...
I told you, like, when I was 10 years old, okay, I have a weird background and I was super lucky to be at games as a media member at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I ever covered a game, I was 10 years old, was a Wizards game with Channel 9 here in Washington. Now, I remember going to the locker room. Juwan Howard was sitting in his locker, and they had made that trade for Mitch Richmond and Otis Thorpe. Mm-hmm. Otis Thorpe was still there, right? And I'm in the Wizards locker room, Capital One Arena, same one they have now.
Uh-huh.
And I remember the players were all awesome to me. But the first thing I thought, Tim Legler was still there, weirdly enough.
Timmy Legs.
So I'm walking around the locker room, and the first thing I thought when I was going to the game that night was like, I'm going to get all these guys autographs. You know, because Channel 9's taking me as like the fast-talking sports kid, and I'm going to interview them. But I thought, I have access to them, like, the media must just get autographs with them all the time. And as soon as I showed up, they said to me, they said, hey, there's two rules. You're not allowed to cheer.
Who said that? Sorry. Who told you?
I think it was PR guy? It was now Maureen Nasser at the time. Different last name.
Oh, Channel 9 reporter.
No. This is the PR director for the Wizards. Channel 9 didn't really give me any guidelines, weirdly enough.
Show up and see what happens.
Yeah. So, but she says there's no cheering in the press box, which they always put me in like great seats, like down along the baseline or something cool. And they said there's no autographs. I learned that right away. Now, I will tell you that in the earliest stages of my career, 10, 11 years old or so, I would go around the Redskins locker room and I would look for like the little discarded wristbands and stuff they'd throw on the ground that were going into the trash. And I would scoop those up to wear when I played football. So I remember wearing Brian Mitchell's wristband one time because it would have like 30 on the back. I had a Stephen Davis elbow pad. So like when I was literally 10 and 11 years old, this is 99, 2000, I would scoop some of those up, put them right in my computer bag. And, like, I gave one to my buddy Jim Rishmawi. He was, like, our high school running back. We were about to play in the state Final Four. He went for 200 yards against Chancellor wearing Stephen Davis's red and white Redskins elbow pad. But I would, like, wear them when I played, pick up basketball or whatever, like a Brian Mitchell wristband. But, like, after a year, I was like, this is the shadiest, weirdest thing ever.
This feels
like
wrong.
By the way, I was like, it smells bad. Yeah. It's got grass stains on it. To be an adult member of the media asking for things and getting autographs, it's so unacceptable. If they find out who this person is, like, what would be hilarious if it was like a major name? I think it would be the coolest thing and the funniest thing in the world if this was like some national level reporter who everyone knows, and that person now is just shunned and scoffed.
Like, it's Peter King. You know what I mean? Like, doing Hall of Fame voting.
Mike Florio's doing it.
My This Week in Football column is up. And it's my last one because I got caught selling gloves.
Oh, that would be so great if it's Florio or Peter
King. Imagine.
I bet it's just some 9-to-5 jobber. You know, some ham and egger who writes some nondescript paper. But if it's a big name, that would be something. We're excited to have in studio with us next Justin Kutcher, who calls Wizards games on NBC Sports Washington. Of course, still works at the network level on Fox Sports as well. We'll kick it with him for a few after. You know, the Wiz, another tough one against Orlando, who they just can't play against.
Let's not play Orlando anymore.
But before that, they were trending in the right direction. G&D on the Fan. Grant and Danny with you until 2 today and every day right here on The Fan. If you missed any part of the show so far, including our buddy Charlie Slows, the voice of the Nats in studio with us, you can go to radio.com, download the app, get the rewind function, and listen to anything you want anytime on demand, but you can literally toggle right there and rewind the entire show, catch whatever you may have missed. We are pleased to be joined, speaking of play-by-play voices in studio, Justin Kutcher, who calls Wizards games on NBC Sports Washington, year one in town doing that. Welcome into the studio. Welcome on the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. It's quite the honor to have the game actually being played right now on replay, which I wish it was the Celtics game, not the Magic game from last night.
It just went down 27 here. That was good.
Those are tough, I would imagine, though, for you calling those games because, look, you're in it all season long. You knew coming into the year this team was probably not playoff bound. They're fun. You know, it's one of those league pass type teams that people are intrigued by, but they're going to lose twice as many games right now as they've won. You kind of signed up for this, but still, games like that where they're down 30 in the second half, do you call that differently? I mean, are you trying to just at that point entertain? How do you keep your audience?
Yeah, honestly, it's entertainment at that point. I mean, I've always said that we get paid to broadcast games like that because anybody can call a close game, anybody can call an exciting game, but a boring game when your team's getting crushed, you have to somehow keep the people entertained. I have no idea what the line was. I have no idea what the over-under was. I probably should have, but it was just like story time with Drew Gooden. And that's oftentimes a lot of fun because he starts referring to himself in a third person, and I have to call him out on that. He gives him credit for a great story, so I have to call him out on that. So we end up laughing and having a good time. And what we also know is that all these guys who are playing late in the game, they're still trying to impress the coaches and trying to get extra time because we only had nine guys suited up last night. And hoping more guys come back and healthy. Hopefully Bradley Beal is back potentially tomorrow night. We don't know. But it's an opportunity each and every time these guys are on the floor to make an impression.
Danny, last night, this is the points per game this season the Wizards were missing. Uh-huh. Okay, Beal, 27.8.
That's significant.
Davis Bertans, 15.4. Mm-hmm. Thomas Bryant, 13.9. Rui Hachimura, 13.9. Mo Wagner, 11.6. C.J. Miles, 6.4, and Garrison Matthews, who was like everyone's favorite.
It was over 91 points.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I did the math in my head.
Six
it's around 90 points, yeah.
90-plus points last night.
Good luck.
You got a career game out of Admiral Schofield, so if you're a young kid who watches this team just trying to see something fun, you probably got that last night in some way with Admiral dropping 18. Where are we at with Troy Brown? He scored 18 last night. Is he become an NBA contributor?
What's he going to be? I have this debate all the time with my Wizards buddies. I don't know the answer. What's his game? What's he going to be?
He's a point forward. He thrives right now in the role of the sixth man coming off the bench. He's a guy who can push the ball, who can play. He needs to play with the ball in his hands. He's not a guy who's going to come off screens and going to get a quick shot. Not like that. He's a guy who, ball in his hands, makes a move, can get to the hoop. Great rebounder for a guard small forward. And then he can hit the three when he's open. He's not going to try to pull up for a three. It's going to be a catch-and-shoot three when he's coming off and he's just sitting there in the corner ready to shoot. But I think Troy is really good. He's young. He's young. And there are certain groups of players that he plays really well with on this team. And when he comes off the bench with that second unit, you can see him just thrive. When he's starting, it's not the same thing. He doesn't feel as comfortable. And what we're seeing with this young team, confidence is as important as any other element of these guys' games. You can see different players, their confidence grow almost on a nightly basis.
Justin Kutcher with us here in studio, calls Wizards play-by-play at NBC Sports Washington. I've wanted them to do this for years as a lifelong Wizards fan. I not to rehash everything else, but the giving up first-round picks, putting yourself in the salary cap hell and everything else. I've wanted them to do this for a long time, to start building, try to get something really, really special, right? So the thing that I do, I love watching this team. I bought tickets and went the other night, took kids, and it was great. I play this fun game where I go, who's an asset to be spun and who's going to be here? And it's you're filling in, you're playing connect the dots or filling in different columns every night. Who's the guy, and I'm not asking you to talk about trades or whatever else behind the scenes, who's the guy that you go, you know what? Building block. He's going to be here.
Oh, I mean, there's no doubt. To me, it's Rui Hachimura.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever Rui comes back, I thought this year he would average 17, 8, and 3 a game. He's missing so much time right now. He might not get those numbers up there, but I think he is a real building block. I like Troy Brown Jr. I do. I like keeping him. Obviously, Beal and Wall, you got those two guys. But to me, it's how you allocate the money. If you have Beal at $36 million. You've got Wall at close to $40 million. You look at your center position, and if you have a healthy Thomas Bryant and a healthy Mo Wagner, the production you're getting out of those two guys is actually really good production. So would you want to go out and spend money on someone big? Personally, I would not. And I'm trying to figure out, we've all, you know, you all play the game. Who is it that you want on this team that you could try to make a trade for? I give a lot of credit to Tommy Shepard.
Me too.
He and his staff have done a phenomenal job just finding certain players. Personally, I keep Davis Bertans. I try to lock him up when he becomes a free agent. I don't want him going to a different team because he's not just a shooter. He's an all-around player. Prior to them getting Gary Payton II, he may have been our best individual defender. And nobody would guess that. He's 6'10". You're just thinking, oh, no, he's just a shooter. No, this guy is a complete basketball player. He's smart. He's a great guy to be around, great for the locker room. I would love to see them re-sign him. And I know a lot of teams want him. They think they can get value for him. Honestly, the way the draft is right now, I don't know if you're going to get better value than re-signing Davis Bertans.
Sharpshooter. Yeah, I get that. I probably would move him if I could get a high enough first-round pick back. That having been said, my number one concern moving forward, because you're going to get Wall back, is how do you get to a point where you're better defensively? And if you keep a lot of this group, which is a fun group to watch, you're getting some offensive production, part of me has to imagine that you got too many guys that aren't good defenders, I'm wondering. Like, how do you take a step forward defensively? You're saying, we'll keep this guy, this guy, this guy. Where does your defense come from then?
So I think the defense comes from when you have Wall and Beal on the floor. I keep on, you know, we had the Portland game last week, and I look at McCollum and Lillard, and I think that's what you want to model yourself after if you're Wall and Beal, where Lillard is the point guard, but both guys can handle the ball. With Wall and Beal, both guys we know now can handle the ball. Beal averages close to 7 assists a game right now. He's gotten so much better with his handle. I think Beal can be a lockdown defender when he is allowed to be that guy. Right now, they're counting on him so much to score, so he can't use all that energy on the defensive side. But the first game of the year, Luka Doncic was going nuts against us. And it was a, I don't know, 15, 17-point game late in the fourth quarter. And Scott Brooks got Beal off the bench. And Beal was like, all right. And next thing you know, Beal was just in on Luka. I mean, he was D'ing him up. They were going at it. It was awesome. They both got tees. Beal got a double T with under a minute to go and went out. However, Luka went up to Beal, was like, dude, great job. That was actually a lot of fun. So I think Beal could be a real defender. Isak Bonga, he can be a real defender.
Yep.
He's got that length. We list him at 6'8". I swear to God, guys, he's grown 2 inches this year. He's like 6'10 already.
Really?
And he's so
enormous.
Long, and he's one of those guys gaining confidence. Troy Brown Jr. is a good defender. He's gotten better. It's funny. When you see him on the floor with Gary Payton II, you just see a comfort level and this flip of an attitude like, all right, let's D these guys up. So our defense has actually gotten better out of last night's game. Take that away. But if you think about guys like Jordan McRae, as long as he is, 7-foot wingspan, Isak Bonga, Gary Payton II, Troy Brown Jr., pass the sneaks, he's looked good. Jan Mahinmi's actually, I know it's going to sound crazy because people have talked about Mahinmi for all these years, but Mahinmi has given them an element they didn't have, and that's a shot blocker at the rim.
At least he can be near the rim and defend. You mentioned Luka. Is he the best player you've
He's
seen
the best
this
player
year?
I've seen in person. And Harden dropped 59.
I was going to say, didn't you see Harden drop 60?
Yeah. He dropped
you like
59
Luka
against
better.
I do. I
wow.
think I mean, look, the body of work is obviously it's scaled heavier for James Harden.
Sure.
But if I'm looking at two guys, who do I want on my team, Luka or Harden? I'm taking Luka every single day. Every single day. Harden is an unbelievable scorer. Unbelievable scorer. Luka Doncic, second year in the league. I don't want this to sound blasphemous. When I look at him, I think of Magic Johnson. But I think of Magic Johnson with a better shot. And obviously, he's got to prove a ton over a long period of time. But that's the type of potential I see for that kid. He was unbelievable. And him and Kristaps Porzingis, that's a nice 1-2 punch they've got in Dallas.
Yeah, it's a
fun group,
team.
Man. So the L.A. trip, back-to-back, Lakers-Clippers. Mm-hmm. Did Kawhi and LeBron play in those games, respectively?
Yep.
I'm just trying to make sure.
No,
I'm giving you off-ramps here, Justin.
I'm telling you right now.
Wow.
Like, of all those guys, I saw Kawhi, I saw LeBron, I saw Paul George, I saw Anthony Davis. We've seen. I have not seen Giannis play in person yet.
Okay.
Okay, but honestly, with Giannis, I look at him, and he is, I mean, obviously the nickname, but he is a freak of nature. The way he moves, how long he is, how strong he is, but he doesn't have a go-to move yet. And last year in the playoffs, they showed if you just clog the lane, I'll take my chances with him shooting a three-pointer. But if you stop him from getting in the paint, he's not the same guy. And so if I look, I mean, it's scary to think he won the MVP and his numbers are better this
year. Still has room to grow.
But he needs something. He needs, whether it's a low post move, a fadeaway, something. It can't just be dunks for him.
Justin Kutcher, Wizards broadcast, NBC Sports Washington. You mentioned Giannis. The Bucks are 33-6. Can anybody else come out of the East, do you think? I feel like this is kind of a coronation for them.
No, I think another team can come out of the East. I think it depends on what happens at the trade deadline.
Well, that's true.
I've been saying,
as currently constructed, do you think any of these teams would beat them in a series? Or who would give them a fight?
I think Boston could.
Okay.
I think Boston's got a lot of talent there. I love Brad Stevens as a coach.
Yep.
Miami, potentially. I'm not a Philly believer.
So that's what I was going to ask you about Philly. If they're hitting threes, dot, dot, dot.
No.
You don't buy it?
I don't buy it. I'm somebody who thinks that this whole Philly thing is going to blow up in their face. I don't think Ben Simmons is what everyone thinks he is. Joel Embiid, I worry about the motor. I don't see this being a good fit. The best scorer they have on that team is probably Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
And I don't trust it.
We'll chat a little more NBA. Look ahead to the night that will be in sports on this Thursday as we continue on Grant and Danny. Justin Kutcher's hanging out with us from NBC Sports Washington's Wizards broadcast on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Final few minutes, Grant and Danny. The radio.com app is how you can rewind our conversation on the Wizards with Justin Kutcher from NBC Sports Washington, who's joining us in studio. Danny, what do you have on the schedule on this Thursday night?
So, this will be pretty chill, my friend. Everybody's sick. I got to go home and get a prescription for myself.
It's a fun time,
it'll
Justin.
Be a great time.
Oh, I know it.
with my youngest, hopefully not too traumatically affected, I've got to finish Don't Bleep with Cats. I've got 35 minutes left, and I need a resolution. I need to know if Luka Magnata gets arrested or not. I know I could
not Google Luka Doncic.
Not Luka Doncic.
He's not going to get arrested.
One great player, another serial killer. Very different people.
There
very
is extremely different. Extremely different. You got to finish it.
Got to finish it.
I gave you an 8 Buffalo Wing out of 10 score, and it would have been a 10 out of 10 if it was easier to watch. It's just tough to get through.
Do you do that on the road?
Are you a true crime
Netflix type stuff?
It is so pathetic. I don't have Netflix.
Oh my God.
I don't have an iPad.
What are we doing?
Okay.
What do you mean you don't have an iPad?
I don't have an iPad.
But when you say that, I hear the words coming out of your mouth, but I don't know what you mean by it.
Like people own iPads,
yeah.
People with kids.
You're
He's
not
like,
one of those
here,
people.
Here, have the iPad. Just go play. I don't even have
so
an iPad
do?
To play.
You could get one.
You could
use money.
Are they not paying you guys over
services?
There? I work at that company. They don't pay great.
You
ask for one
for research. You can get it. They give it to you.
I have
those
my
Fox
laptop.
Sports checks still coming in.
I had the laptop, and then on the road, I don't even really turn my TV on much unless I'm watching a game. Like I'm the most boring person on the road because I'm so routine oriented that like on a game day, I count everything back. So I have to make sure I get my 30 to 45 minute pregame nap in. I get my hour-long workout in. I have my boards done. I do all that stuff. Maybe I have breakfast or lunch, but oftentimes I don't even do that. I don't usually leave the hotel when I'm on the road.
We get it. You're thin, but why did you?
Yeah, why do you?
You
have
could
to
just
be
watch
thin?
An iPad at some point.
So I did. I will say this. I finally binge watched a show for the first time in I don't know how long, and I binge watch Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime.
It's a really good show.
And that was phenomenal.
Attaboy.
I was sick. I couldn't leave the house. I was like, let me just start watching it. And Amazon Prime is so smart because you're watching, and within like 3 seconds, they start the next episode. You're like, well,
okay, I'm already
might
here.
As well.
I'm doing
you
it.
Understand you have the perfect job for binge watching.
I sleep on planes.
But I don't even mean the travel. Like, there are plenty of days where you're just at your apartment until 3 p.m.
Just you,
or whatever,
man.
Until you go to the arena.
Yeah, but I got to get my board done.
Office.
I got to work out.
But, okay,
I got to maybe go hit
days.
Some golf balls, maybe.
Say baseball,
so, no, you don't have to do that. Yeah, you're not playing 162 out of 162. So let's talk more about the fact that you it's important to you to be in shape. Why is that? Why don't you just do you eat food that you like that's delicious, that's bad for you, and then not work out ever? Have you thought about trying that?
Like a cookie. You ever just eat
don't
a cookie?
Don't you get the sense? And
yes,
I don't know
I do.
You well. Like we've texted a little bit, and I've met you in person a few times, and I'm actually, funny enough, I've known one of your relatives for years
yes.
and years and years.
Ashton?
Ashton Kutcher, yeah. Andrew. We're very
Kutcher.
Familiar.
Right? Kutcher, please.
No, he's Ashton Kutcher. They're okay. related, but they have different pronunciations.
Feud within the family.
That having been said, the sense I get just in hanging around you a little bit is that you've never eaten a buffalo wing or a
oh,
bacon
God,
cheeseburger.
No. I don't eat the bacon cheeseburger, but I crush buffalo wings.
You eat
so,
meat?
Oh, yes.
At all? Okay.
Oh, yeah. So here's the thing. I pretty much work out so I can eat. I'm a fat kid at heart.
Oh, come on.
This
is what thin people say.
This is what you do.
This is what thin
people do. What you people say.
I have pictures of me crushing 50-ounce steaks like they're nothing.
Do you have pictures of what you do in the bathroom right afterwards?
Well, that's
liar,
not part of it.
You fraud.
And I also,
is,
I would do.
This
I swear,
is what you people
you,
say.
You can ask anybody who's ever been around me. They're like, where does it go? What do you do? Because I eat more food than any. Like, guys I work with, like David Deal for football, like Steve Hutchinson, guys who are like huge dudes, I put them to shame. And like one of my analysts for the Falcons, Coy Wire, he said to me, he goes, dude, you eat more than offensive lineman I played with in the NFL.
This is like when a girl says, I'll eat something tonight at dinner. And then she's like, I'm just going
to
eat salad this time.
Do you mean because
but
food?
Next time. Yeah, we go out. We're going to meet. I'm going to go to dinner with you soon.
All right.
And I want to see what you eat. And watch. He's going to be like, well, tonight I'm going to do a salad, but you should have seen what I ate last
well, no,
night.
Well, no. Most nights, a lot of times, I am doing a salad, right? Because I have to have a cheat at some
Mr.
point.
Mr. I put on an offensive yeah. lineman clinic.
Well, if I'm going to go for a real steak,
that's what you are.
I love buffalo wings, but yeah. they got to be worth it.
So why right. you said, when I asked you about one of the great creations our society's ever offered us, a bacon cheeseburger,
yeah.
you said
well,
you wouldn't
do that.
Well, I would never
no,
do that.
No, I don't eat bacon.
You don't eat bacon?
I eat turkey bacon.
How about a cheeseburger?
I'm not a cheeseburger guy, but I do love cheese steaks. It's weird. I don't get it.
All right, here we go.
French fries?
Everyone loves French fries, but I do my best not to eat them.
Well, everyone loves bacon cheeseburgers, too.
When's the last time? Hold on. Time out.
Okay.
When's the last time you ate French fries?
Probably 2 weeks ago.
Fried French fries.
Probably 2 weeks ago.
As opposed to the unfried ones.
Top five favorite foods. Not a specific dish and not like, you can't just say Italian. Your five. What's in your five? Your T-Mobile
wow.
five. Go.
Everyone's got to know it.
Everyone
okay.
knows it.
Everyone. So obviously a great slice of pizza is going to be there.
Pizza.
I love hibachi. Is that okay to
that's,
say that?
That's fine. That's okay. fine because that's grilled meat veggies right around the
is
top.
Is that just when you're sitting around at like a
yes.
Japanese restaurant?
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
And
yeah.
the guy like shoots it up in the air and lands on your plate?
Obviously like a great steak. I'm going to
okay.
do that.
All right.
Chicken Parmesan.
Chicken Parm. Mm. Chicken Parm. Good. Member of your five there.
And I don't do it anymore, but I used to just crush burgers. I love burgers.
Burgers.
Yeah.
But no bacon cheeseburgers.
No, but I love a burger. Like, if you can get, like, sautéed onions.
Yeah.
Some guacamole.
Yeah,
but you
yeah,
haven't
yeah.
had a fried
egg on
burger?
Top.
Oh, yeah.
Your last burger experience.
It's probably within the last 6 weeks.
Oh, that's good. Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah. Pizza, hibachi, steak, chicken parm, and burgers. Good five by
it's
Justin
not bad.
Kutcher. I don't know if I believe you.
Get into know Justin you. Kutcher a little bit.
I promise. I mean, you can ask anybody who knows me. I eat an insane amount of food.
You know what you should do? You metro or walk to the arena?
I metroed here.
Okay.
I metro to the arena.
When
are
next
you
time you
Man
metro
the
to the arena,
that'll be tomorrow night.
Go to Fudd's right across the street, and you get yourself a Fuddruckers burger and fries.
Oh, please. Come
out
on.
Out of business?
Really?
That's heartbreaking. Yeah. You know why? Because people like him weren't going to it enough.
There's that,
people like
that?
Me kept going to it.
What's that place? It's like Fuel. You know what I'm talking about? It's
the
on
pizza?
7th and...
Oh, yeah. Fuel. Yeah.
Is that just called Fuel? Yeah, it pizza is. And wings?
No, come on.
Put wings right on top of the pizza.
Well, I'm going to the February 1st game.
Okay. Who's that against?
I feel like I should know
I have
that.
Not memorized the schedule. I apologize.
Well, I'll tell you right now in a
I'll
second.
I'll tell you who it is, actually. It's MS Awareness Night that night. And that's something I was going to try
really?
To promote, which is really, really cool.
Awesome.
Dave Johnson, Wizards yep. radio play-by-play yep. play guy, diagnosed with MS. And Karis LeVert's mom, who plays for the Nets, diagnosed with MS. So it's a cool night for MS Awareness. A portion of ticket proceeds all go to the Capital MS Society.
Who are they playing that night?
It's the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay.
Oh, great.
I'm going to see Brooklyn. So I'm going that night. What time do you normally get there?
It's a 7 o'clock game, I'm assuming. Usually around 4:30-ish.
Okay. What if we did a little yard house at like 3:30, a couple blocks away?
So you want me to get like, you want me to crush food?
Yes.
I don't need you to crush food.
Beforehand.
And also, you don't, you
How
get
about,
whatever
what about
you want.
After the game? Or do you have to
I'm
get
I'm fine
home?
With that too.
I can do after the game.
Okay.
Go do it.
Let's do yard house post game.
What we're kind of saying is right now you're like the guy that pretends to have a summer girlfriend from camp. And you either have to produce a picture or she has to come to an event.
I also have so many more questions about this pregame nap, but we're out of time. What time is the pregame nap?
Pregame nap is usually 3 to 4 hours before I leave.
Okay.
Because I do a workout typically 2 hours before.
And is that like you prepare for bed? Like lights out in the room?
Lights out.
Like clothes 30, off?
30 to 45
in
minutes.
In your jeans or you're like in your boxers? What are we doing here?
Usually in gym shorts.
Okay.
Yep.
So he's like, he's going to bed for 30
yeah,
minutes.
He's going to bed.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
I've got to get out. I've got to be out. Got to be out.
Sound machine?
Nope. No sound machine.
Okay.
You should
put the phone
machine.
On silent. Put everything on silent. Sleep. Wake up. Let's get going.
I can't do 30 minutes naps. If it's not an hour and a half, it can kick every rock that's ever existed. I need 90 minutes or bust. It's been good hanging out with you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Let's have a cheeseburger
awesome.
Sometime. You can watch the Wizards on NBC Sports Washington. Justin Kutcher will be on the call with Drew Gooden and company. Brant and Danny saying so long. Chad Dukes versus the world is up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.